This is Chapel for April 19, 1984. It is the Maundy Thursday Communion Service with Drs. Halbrook and Carlton. Take two. This is the Maundy Thursday Chapel Communion Service with Drs. Halbrook and Carlton leading in the service.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose love lived in Jesus Christ, who even on the night he was betrayed, became a servant and washed his disciples' feet, we confess we have often betrayed rather than served your disciples. Lord, have mercy upon us. Wash us from the stain of our sinful pride. Lead us once more to Christ's table, and once more unite us to him who is the bread of life and the vine from which we grow in grace, through whose power we are bold to make our prayer. Amen. The epistle reading for this morning comes from the 11th chapter of Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him."
Thank you.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. As we receive the benefits of that gracious gift, we are to express that love to others. It was a hard lesson to learn. The disciples that last evening were more interested in other things. Who would be greatest? Things such as who would get the big first church or who would get elected to the convention office. But Jesus tried one last time using the life-sustaining elements of bread and wine to teach them of the eternally significant sustenance and unity available through him because God so loved the world. It was a hard lesson to learn. The people in the church at Corinth were more interested in other things. Things like which leader to follow. They were saying things such as, I am of Macquarie, I am of Moody, I am of Patterson. So Paul used again the life-sustaining elements of bread and wine to teach them of the eternally significant sustenance and unity available through Christ because God so loved the world. Through communion, Paul called them to remember in faith what God had done. He called them to look forward in hope to what God would do. But the lesson at hand was to experience and express God's love in the present. Paul had asked, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a communion in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the same loaf. He went on to say in the lesson for this morning, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Proclaim the Lord's death. How do we go about the task of proclaiming the Lord's death? Of course, we can do it by verbally proclaiming the gospel message of God's love expressed in Jesus Christ. And we Baptists are at our best in verbal proclamation. But Paul is suggesting here another way. The way of living God's love as we express it in fellowship with one another, partaking together of one loaf and one cup. The way of so allowing God's love to work through us that in partaking we become the body of Christ. This kind of living proclamation is often more effective than the more traditional verbal one. An incident which occurred when our son John was about 3 made us keenly aware of the power of the lived message. As preface to the story, I must point out that my wife, Jeannie, is not fond of mice. In fact, when it comes to mice, Claude Stewart notwithstanding, Jeannie is not thankful for God's creation. Upon returning from church one Sunday morning and starting up the stairs, we spotted a dead mouse. Jeannie immediately launched into semi-controlled hysterics with appropriate screams and shrieks. I removed the mouse. The incident was forgotten, and after dinner we sat down to read the paper. Suddenly the silence was pierced by screams from John upstairs. We frantically raced up there and found John playing with his little Fisher-Price house and family. Don't worry, he said. Everything's all right. Pointing to the Fisher-Price family, he explained, this mom just saw a mouse in her house. The message was quite clear. In a moment, we had come to see that John was learning what it meant to be a family, not so much by what we taught him, as by our day-to-day living together as family. And that's what Paul is telling us. By communing together, by living as the family of God, we learn what it means to be the family of God, the body of Christ. And by expressing to each other the love we experience through Christ's presence, we do proclaim the Lord's death till He come. It's a hard lesson to learn. When it comes to communion, we prefer to talk about other things. Who should administer it? Who should receive it? How should it be distributed? Should we use a common loaf and cup or little wafers in individual glasses? Should the bread be leavened or unleavened? Should it be wine or Welch's? Is Christ truly present, and if so, how? Should we have it if we're not a local church? These questions are not unimportant, but they pale into insignificance in the face of the meaning Paul gives to communion. Paul calls us to remember in faith that what God has done in Christ, because God so loved the world. He calls us to look forward in hope to the expression of that love in Christ's return. But most important for our present living, He calls us to experience God's love through Christ's presence, and by sharing that love with each other, to be drawn together as the body of Christ. In partaking of the one loaf and the one cup, we who are many and diverse are made one. As Calvin put it, inasmuch as Christ makes Himself common to all, He makes us all one in Himself. Nicholas Zinzendorf expressed that oneness beautifully in a hymn. Grant, Lord, that with Thy direction, love each other we comply, aiming with unfeigned affection Thy love to exemplify. Let our mutual love be glowing, thus will people plainly see that we, as on one stem growing, living branches are in Thee. It's a hard lesson to learn. We find it so difficult to love those with whom we differ. And yet, on the night of that Last Supper, Christ called us to do just that. The very name, Maundy Thursday, comes from the Latin, Mandatum Novum, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. By this all men will know that you are My disciples, if you love one another. But we often seem so divided, so much at odds with one another. How is it really possible for us to overcome our divisions and love one another? Zinzendorf, in that same hymn, had a suggestion for us. And should our love's union holy, firmly linked no more remain, wait ye at His footstool lowly, till He draw it close again. By communing together as the family of God, we learn what it means to be the family of God, the body of Christ. By expressing to others the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ, we do proclaim the Lord's death till He come. Let us gather at His footstool lowly around the table. Let us pray. Most gracious God, who so loved the world that You gave Your Son to be lifted up and to feed us with bread of life, we thank You for inviting us to feast together with Him who died for us, and for thereby drawing us together in love as Your family, the body of Christ. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is broken for you. This do
in remembrance of me. Eat in remembrance of Christ who died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. In the same manner also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which was shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes."
Thank you.
Of Christ who died for you. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.
Let us pray. Now unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.